With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hoffman and Russell in for Dukes today on Chad Dukes versus the World. We are live at Hollywood Casino at the Sportsbook, where we are watching NCAA tournament action. Michigan State and Bradley about to square off in a 2:15 game. Auburn, New Mexico State, 11:05 to go in the second half, 53-45. Those are the games on right now. Got a couple
Maryland
more.
Coming up in just
a Maryland's going to tip at 3:24 on True TV. The annual tradition, unlike any other, Googling where the hell True TV is. It already happened to me for the play-in games. It's channel 683 if you have Fios and you care.
I found that out hardcore on Tuesday night when I couldn't find out who Maryland was going to play today.
You and everybody else. Coming up in an hour, we get into this Doug Williams scheme bit. But right now, it's a Thursday at 3 on Chad Dukes versus the World. So that means Joe Beninati is with us. Joe B., how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Craig and Chris. I'm doing well. Thank you. And you?
Doing well. There are worse places to be for the NCAA tournament than a sports book, so we are doing...
I was listening to you guys about 15, 20 minutes ago. Sounds like fun.
Yes, the end of the Yale-LSU game went well for some and didn't for others, but that's kind of how it goes in a sports book. The Capitals have now, getting to the team that, you know, you cover, I guess, if we have to, but getting to these two games in the last week against the Lightning... Obviously, you come out two losses. Last night's an overtime loss. But what do you take out of these games against a team that is on a historic pace and doing historic things in the Lightning as the Capitals try to prepare themselves to eventually potentially go through them in the playoffs?
The thing I take would be that they could have easily won both games, honestly. You know, the one in Amalie over the weekend, the first period was one to forget. There were a couple of instances where I think the Caps would tell you that they, quote-unquote, gave Tampa Bay some of their offense and initiated it for them. Other than that, you know, that was a 6-3 game that really wasn't a 6-3 game. It was a one-goal game with a couple of empty netters, and the opportunities were there for Washington to win that one, and I think the Washington Capitals were the better team last night by far at even strength, did not perform well on the penalty kill, and that's one thing that they should have known coming in, and I'm sure they did. As advertised, the Lightning score goals like crazy. They're fantastic on the man up, and they burned them on the power play. And I think that game last night in particular, Craig and Chris, could have been 2-0, 3-0 Washington after the first period. Vasilevsky was fantastic cover to cover, but he was really good early to make sure that his team was in line to make the rally they did. And that's what happens when you're having the kind of touched, you know, kissed by an angel kind of season that they are having. Tampa Bay is fantastic, and I'm not taking anything from them, but the thing that I would take if I was on the Washington side was, you're right there with them, you know how to beat them, you beat them last spring, and let's fingers crossed hope you can get that far to round three again to see if you can do it again.
Joe Beninati with us. Joe joined me pregame live from Capital One Arena last night, so we appreciate him pulling double duty for us here on the fan. Joe, when we watched that game unfold, and I think you just accurately and perfectly described it, you know, one of the things we talked about last night pregame was how good that Tampa power play was, and the Capitals were real good on Saturday night, completely shutting it down, but we knew they were number one on the road, number one overall, and last night they, of course, you know, hurt the Capitals. Besides taking too many penalties, what did you see from your perch as to the reason why the Capitals struggled on the PK last night when they've been so good since the trade deadline and maybe just a tad before?
Maybe the assignments were a little bit different last night. I don't think that Tampa necessarily changed tactics very much. The execution level was just better, and Washington may have been off by a hair here and there. And one thing that I've noticed about Tampa Bay, they've definitely acquired this trait from a team like Pittsburgh. They are able to put goals together, sense momentum changes really well. And all of a sudden a 1-0 lead evaporates, boom, boom, boom. They get momentum, they pounce, and not only do they pounce on you once, but they make sure if you make a mistake again, there's another one in the back of the net. And the Caps have to find a way to avoid getting a little bit scatterbrained, a little bit scattershot in those instances. There has to be, you know, that next line out. You always look for who the coach puts on the ice after giving up a goal, because you're trying to get that stabilizing factor in there, and you need that to happen. It just seems like the best teams, the teams that are able to capitalize the most, not only do they punch you back once, they counterpunch two and three times, and all of a sudden now they put the game in their favor, and you're chasing them. I'm not taking, again, I mentioned this off the top, I am not taking anything away from Tampa Bay. I think they're brilliantly well-constructed. They're very deep. They're incredibly well-coached, and they have that difference maker in the goal. Vasilevsky was super last night, and still, guys, you put four on him. Four is usually good enough to win. You keep getting four on him, you will win.
There's no doubt about that, and the Capitals were able to crack that code late in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you can make an argument, certainly, that they were able to crack the code several times last night after the good start by Eller on the break-in after the turnover, and then finishing it off with Kuznetsov late in regulation. And Joe, that's what I wanted to ask you. I asked Evgeny last night, because I thought he was great, besides the game-tying goal, besides all the power play time, and granted, some of that and the reason for the amount of shots was a lot of power play time. I thought he forechecked well. I thought he played responsibly defensively for the most part. I thought he was physical at times. Yeah, he wasn't great on the faceoffs. That's never going to be his strength. I thought Evgeny played a hell of a game last night, maybe his best. When I asked him that, he goes, maybe the best of my career. What would you say as somebody who's called, seen, and been at most of, if not all of, Evgeny Kuznetsov's games?
You put the amount of star power that was on the ice in that game last night, and he was the most compelling player on the ice. I mean, I know Kucherov had the two goals, and I know that his electricity level and his season is unparalleled in Tampa Bay's history. And Kucherov is a wonderful player to watch. But to me, the guy who commanded your eye, even if you were the casual hockey fan watching that game, was wearing 92 in the red. He skated like a champ. He controlled the puck beautifully. You know, we beg him to shoot more, and he was able to call his own number a time or two with the nine shots on goal. And that's a good thing. The more he shoots, the more that opens passing lanes for really what he likes to do, which is distribute to his wingers. He was terrific. That was the guy who took over a lot of the Stanley Cup tournament last year. That's why he was in contention with Ovechkin and with Holtby for Conn Smythe Trophy MVP honors. When he goes to that level, Washington can beat anyone, and it's just a consistency factor with Kuzi. He's a tremendous personality. You know, he's a, hey, just let me be me kind of guy, and when he feels it, he can show it to you, and he did last night. That's a, you know, that's a big Wednesday night game on NBCSN. It's coast to coast. He senses that moment. I thought he rose to the challenge very, very well. He almost got his team over the hump all the way through to a victory. Instead, they do take a point that they always need, that they can always bank. But I'm looking forward to round three against the Lightning next week, and I really hope, like I said, for the hockey fans' sake, that we get to see that as another Eastern Conference final, because it's really developing into a great show on the ice. You know, you have all the theater, you have the electricity, you have the rivalry now installed from last year's series. There's bad blood there. There's a snarl there. It's becoming a really attractive matchup.
Joe Beninati brought to us by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit PVI and PVI.com. Today, Joe, with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. I think the comments going into that game, Joe, were interesting just along the lines you were just talking about. These are two teams that when they see each other on the schedule, they seem to be quite looking forward to it. What do you make of the embrace of this matchup, knowing how difficult it is for both teams because of the quality that they will face?
The cool thing now, Craig, is that Tampa Bay is playing with a chip on their shoulder. And I mentioned this to Rooster last night. You know, the Caps were able to overcome a 3-2 deficit in the Eastern Conference Final last year, and there are a lot of people inside that Tampa Bay dressing room who felt like they got bullied. They felt that they were beaten physically more so than maybe tactically or from a skill set standpoint. They felt like the Caps ran over them, which they definitely did in Game 6, And I think they demonstrated a physical dominance in Game 7, although I thought Holtby was a difference maker in that one. But the point I'm getting to is Tampa Bay has had a phenomenal season. I mean, just awesome. And they're upset that they were beaten last year, and they took it personally, and they're saying that, you know what, they out-physicaled. They out-hit us. They outworked us. So now whenever Tampa Bay is going to see Washington, we're going to prove that we'll get back in Washington's face. So that only makes this even better. That only makes it more juicy for the fan to watch, and it only makes the blood boil more for the players. I think it's terrific, but the Lightning feel like they have something to prove now. They have a fabulous season going. They're exactly in the same position the Caps were two seasons ago, three seasons ago, as runaway President's Trophy winners. Now can you get it across the finish line? Only, I think, eight teams that have won the President's Trophy have gone on to win the Stanley Cup. It's not a lead pipe cinch. There's nothing automatic about it. And it's just Tampa Bay is trying to create whatever motivation they can to say, you know what? We're going to have to. We want Washington. Let's get in Washington's face the way they did to us last spring. And if that's the case, then bring it on. I know the Caps are ready for that challenge.
Joe Beninati will be back on the call tomorrow night on NBC Sports Washington as Bruce Boudreau and the Minnesota Wild come in and visit Capital One Arena and the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. You can also hear the game here as always on 106.7 The Fan. So from a hockey, I guess maybe not nerd department, this is going to be problematic moving forward. We don't know the update on Michael Kempney, Joe, but we know it's probably not good, and even Todd Reirden would allow several times last night and this morning on the Junkies that it's going to be several weeks. How do you see the defensive pairing shaking out, assuming that Kempney's lost at least until the playoffs? What combos do you see? Because last night Juice was out, Orpik back in. Juice would seem to be the lock to go back in the lineup, but how do you see the pairing shaking out?
Yeah, it's a good question, Chris and Craig, and I'll offer this. I don't have inside information yet. I don't. I haven't had a chance to speak with anybody. Today was the off day, getting set for the Wild tomorrow, but obviously when we show up for work tomorrow, we're going to have some questions to ask. In my mind, I mentioned this when he was acquired near the trade deadline, that I think Nick Jensen can be the level of Michael Kempney and beyond. And that's not a slight to Michael. I think he's a terrific player, and he's been a wonderful match for John Carlson. Yes, you would like to have the lefty-righty balance, lefty-righty throughout the three pairs. So it's somewhat problematic to put Nick on his offside, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Jensen with Carlson, keeping Orlov and Niskanen together. When Juice played regularly, he's used to playing on his offside with Brooks Orpik.
Right.
So barring a recall, which is probably going to happen as well with Jonas Siegenthaler, he becomes your safety net, or you pop him right in. But to me, I wouldn't be surprised if Jensen is the guy who's asked to take some of those minutes. And Kempney's getting close to 20. He's not going to get as many as John Carlson's 24, 25. But to me, Jensen could play that offside. That would be my hunch. I don't think they would try Juice up there, not at that amount of ice time. I think they would slot Juice in with Orpik and take a shot at throwing Jensen up top.
Joe, it came out a little bit earlier today that when the team goes to the White House, it'll be a fairly private affair, that they will go get a private tour, meet with the president in the Oval Office. What do you make of that, if anything? And you're kind of part of the team. Do you get to go? Are you going to get to go to the White House?
I haven't heard one way or another, Craig. I know that if I was asked, I would most certainly be there. I think I just believe in the office of the presidency asking and respecting, you know, the greatness of an American sports team. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the Caps to go. I completely understand individuals' decisions as to whether or not they go. I'm not going to get involved in that sort of politics, but I just think when the office of the president asks to honor team greatness, I mean, that's what we do, and that's something that you should be incredibly proud of. And I look forward to the day on Monday seeing the Caps get that type of notoriety and celebrity again, for which they deserve. They were wonderful last spring, and they brought so much joy to the community. If I'm asked, I'm there. But I certainly understand why some guys will back out. That's your prerogative.
Absolutely. And I'm just curious, as someone who is around this team, obviously, all the time, How much of it was a discussion? Like, this is happening fairly late in the season, especially considering it's not like, you know, the Golden State Warriors only are in Washington once and they play in March. Like, this is the team from Washington. How much has this been discussed throughout the year, just on the road amongst the guys? Like, hey, like, what are we going to do if or are we going to go? Like, what was kind of the not even the formal process, just the informal discussions? Was it something that was discussed frequently or not really?
I wish I had the information for you, Craig. I don't. I from time to time would hear the guys discussing it. And it's like you're saying, you know, this is the team that's in residency here in D.C. It's only, it's 10 blocks from the arena. Right. But I don't know how and what went into it with regard to schedule making. I don't know the process. And like I said, I would love to be asked and invited, and I'm sure that extends all the way through our NBC Sports Washington announce team. But, you know, this is something for the team. This is something for the organization and for the players. And I know that it's been discussed. I don't know to what length. And I really can't tell you as to why, you know, it didn't happen in October, November, December. But now is the time. And I look forward to seeing a lot of big smiling faces on Monday.
Definitely. Joe, always appreciate the time. Good to catch up. Glad that we got to fill in for Chad today and talk to you, man.
Thank you, Joe B.
Hey, anytime, fellas. Have a good day.
See you tomorrow morning.
Joe Beninati, and again, tomorrow night you can catch him on the broadcast Caps and Wild, 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Washington. And again, Joe B, brought to you each and every week by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit PVI and PVI.com today. What did take so long? That's what we're going to talk about next. And do we care, frankly, as sports consumers? We're not going to get into the politics of it all, but with the Caps going, and also we'll fill you in on the details of what is going to be a fairly private visit to the White House on Monday. We'll get into that. And then coming up, I know this is what everyone has been waiting for, at 4 o'clock today, I have more information on the Redskins scouting process, and I'll give you a big hint. It's not what Doug Williams said. That's coming up at 4. Hoffman, Russell, in for Dukes on Chad Dukes versus the World.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Chris Russell, I'm Craig Hoffman on Chad Dukes versus the World.
Hi.
I have accomplished a great feat of athleticism in the last 7.5 minutes. I have hauled my tail all the way across to the buffet and back in one commercial break.
You know, there is this thing called March Madness. That was food madness or something like that, because that's not right around the corner. It's not that far away, but very impressive job by you and PJ Elliott to go from our set to the buffet, where I was like, wait a second, they're going to a buffet? What the hell are they doing?
We are at Hollywood Casino and Resort and Sportsbook. If you're wondering, like, wait.
In Charlestown, West Virginia, you guys should come
out. The Fan has a buffet now? No, not.
No, right, the Fan does not. No. Trust me, unless you count the potato chip bags that are, 95 cents a bag, a buffet. No, they do not. But they are treating us wonderful here at the Hollywood Casino. In the Race and Sportsbook, again, at Charlestown Races. Just come on out. Whether today, we're here till 6:30. The radio station, Grant and Danny, will be here tomorrow, and you'll be here with J.P. Finley until 6:30.
Can we
so
break
come
that
out
down a little
and
bit?
Celebrate March Madness.
Oh, by the way, also, as I now check my sheet here in front of me, Auburn is up 73-66 on New Mexico State.
Yes.
This is getting interesting. The line here is 5.5.
Very, very interesting.
So we are currently at a...
I went to Buffalo State. You went to the real college, Syracuse University.
I did.
And I did not. I went to a Division III school. But even I, Craig, can tell you that if the line is 5.5, Auburn has a 7-point lead as we speak. So they are very much in danger of not covering. Or if you had New Mexico State plus the 5.5, you're going to be a happy camper.
Could be. Potentially, you got a little bit of work to do. New Mexico State does have the basketball. That's one of my favorite things. The announcers who insist on calling it the basketball.
The basketball.
PJ, I feel
the
like
tournament.
You're eating, so I'm not going to make you do this on mic. Who's the worst about that? Which NCAA announcer is worst about score the basketball? Who am I thinking of?
Rafferty, maybe?
No. I feel like Jimmy Dykes. That's who it is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy Dykes is Mr. Score the basketball.
I thought Jimmy Dykes had left ESPN and went to go coach the Arkansas women.
He did.
Did he get fired?
I believe he's back.
Yeah, because I saw him on a broadcast in the SEC tournament, and I was like, whoa, wait, what happened there?
Yeah.
I can't say I keep up with Arkansas women's basketball very often.
What's
but I was just
you?
Curious by that. Real quickly, but this odyssey that you had, and you and PJ had, very impressive, again, for you guys to get back here, not miss a second of the show. But
even got a couple of bites in.
The problem now is the smell is just waffling over, and it's making me hungry, and I can't eat.
Sounds like a you problem.
It's very much a you problem. This is what happens when you don't look like Craig Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, when you don't look like Craig Hoffman,
there's you stuff you on your EMP 180... that you can.
I know. I didn't do very good on EMP 180 today, so I am trying like hell to avoid it all.
By the way, I don't think Grant and Danny are like they're in the building somewhere because they're staying here.
Go bother them.
But I'm gonna pull a bit tomorrow that I'm extraordinarily excited about, and I'm gonna tell the listening audience. If you are listening, don't tweet them and ruin the bit. If you do that, you get banned from Twitter. You are not using the platform properly. I don't like you. And
wait, when did you become like the god of Twitter?
I don't have that power.
Okay.
Just go with it.
I'm just curious.
So Danny and I were tweeting last week. I tweeted something about donuts, to which Danny said, "You've never had a donut." To which I said,
"You love donuts."
I responded in a way that I can tweet, but I can't say on the radio, putting an emphasis on how much I love donuts.
I did see you curse on Twitter. I was surprised by that.
I don't do it often. But
I didn't know you were that impure, Hoffman.
When you're talking about how much you like donuts, there's just some things that need to be said. And so I think tomorrow I'm going to bring donuts.
I would highly suggest Dunkin' Donuts.
Now,
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Now, I did not do that today because I didn't want to be mean to you. Because here's what's going to happen.
That.
Grant and Danny are going to say, "You won't eat that," and to which point I'm going to shove one in my mouth and eat it.
Are you just going to eat one?
I mean, it depends on who. Bear, do you want some? How many should I get? Because you know who else is going to eat donuts? J.P. Finley's going to eat donuts.
Oh, yeah, J.P.
You don't know who won't eat donuts? Grant and Danny.
It's a Friday. They might be in a giving mood.
No.
They might succumb. Although after dinner tonight, I've heard a little birdie has said, we might all be going out to a fancy schmancy steak dinner here at Hollywood Casino.
You know what that's not going to stop me from getting tomorrow?
Donuts.
Donuts.
All right. Real quickly, Vermont over Florida State, 45-44. Maryland, again, is underway. We will keep you up to date. As you mentioned, 73-68. Now Auburn over New Mexico State. Maryland is
9.5.
8.
Who in the sports book right now is sweating this Auburn-New Mexico State game?
Yeah.
What side are we on here?
About 10 hands went up. All right,
Auburn?
Dude, in front
anybody
of us has
on New
got
Mexico
New Mexico
State.
Yeah, right here. A couple of guys.
Y'all
want to
fight? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. They're going to get me thrown out of here.
Maryland is up 9-8, Hoffman, with 14:35 left to go in the first half. So obviously, we'll keep you up to date on all of the action going on. And you know who's 2-for-2 already on the finals so far?
Who?
The Rooster.
Well, you're 2-2.
Mr. College Basketball.
Your bracket?
Yeah. I picked LSU over Yale, and I picked...
Wow, that's bold. The 3 over the 14.
Wait
Chris,
a second.
You deserve a medal.
I went out on a limb. They fired Will Wade, or he's suspended. They sucked in the SEC tournament.
The
yeah, I understand that. There was reason to think that Yale, a bunch of smart kids, could waltz in and beat a team that was, kind of, I guess, hemorrhaging a little bit.
Wait,
when was the last? When hold
a
on,
3-14
no.
upset never happened.
No. Full stop. I would just like would like to break down your logic here for just a moment. When was the last time you saw a kid that could get into Yale and went, "Yep, he could beat the athlete from the SEC"?
I don't know about Yale athlete from the SEC, but do we not remember North Carolina losing to? Didn't North Carolina lose to an Ivy League school in a big upset in the first round once? I think that happened.
I don't know if it was.
Maybe
North
it wasn't
Carolina.
North Carolina.
There was
maybe
a Harvard
it was
team that made a run a couple
Harvard
of years ago.
Harvard almost beat Georgetown as a one seed when they were a 16 seed when Georgetown was great or very good at least.
Sure, but your logic of a bunch of smart kids could do it.
Hey, don't you have to be smart to play basketball? Don't you have to be savvy?
Yes.
Sharp?
I just can't get over that Maryland has a guy named Bruno Fernando.
He's pretty good from what
Maryland.
I hear, huh?
Yes, he is. He's an NBA prospect.
11-11, Maryland and Belmont. Maryland better win this game for everybody's sanity around here. 73-69,
I don't know about you.
Auburn,
this ticket says otherwise.
Mexico State. Well, yeah, I don't care. I'll just laugh, but then all the Maryland fans and all the Maryland honks will get mad at me.
So at this point, I guess we're going to punt the cap stopping. We want
to
do that next?
We need to do that because,
we'll do it next.
Let's do that next, but here's a thing. Okay, number one, I guess me and Blue Shorts were supposed to go to the White House for the radio station on Monday. Mm-hmm. So it looks like at this point, based on the report and based on what the Capitals announced,
via
Isabel Kashurdian of the Washington Post, that the team is going to take part in a private tour and meet the president in the Oval Office. There will be no official ceremony or media availability. I didn't think about this angle. I will just say this. I think that organization, just the sense that I got being around them all day, talking to Braden Holtby last night, who I wasn't sure at all if he was going to go, and I still don't think he's going to go. Maybe he'll do it because it's not a public thing. I don't know. But the sense that I got is this was very nip and tuck, that this was a very difficult decision for them to make because you brought up the Golden State Warriors. They went to go see President Obama instead of seeing Trump. They've now not gone the last 2 years. And while other teams have gone, the Astros, the Cubs, the Eagles did not go. I mean, so there is more than enough reason to say absolutely this was a controversial decision. So this looks like the Caps trying to please everybody, meaning no media spectacle, but we're also going to go as a team.
Yeah, I want to get into this a little bit more next. Like, I want to treat it with the time it deserves because it's interesting. Coming off of a wild March Madness segment, I don't think is the correct time to like, hey, hard left turn, let's pivot. So let's take a quick break, come back, and I'll probably sound more sober. And I use that word because apparently at Odin's third Raven, I don't know.
Somebody said you're drunk?
Said I sound drunk on the airwaves, and he loves it.
Do I sound drunk?
Maybe he's drunk.
Perhaps. I mean, a lot of people do cut, school, take off from work, and just get all lathered up and come here to Hollywood Casino and lose all their money.
Maybe.
On the
maybe
first few days of the
somewhere else
in
this
tournament.
Casino listening on the radio.com app.
Perhaps.
Who knows? Whether you're drunk or sober, we are sober, just for the record, because it's legal.
Uh-oh.
Or illegal to broadcast otherwise.
Oh,
also,
this?
Here we're gonna stall here for about 25 seconds,
well,
unless there's a timeout.
I was going to say that 25 seconds in college hoops could take about 16
Auburn right
minutes.
Now trying to dribble. Let's see. All right, we got a foul on New Mexico State. I would say it looks good for the 5.5, but I don't want to jinx it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll let you know how this game finishes up. We'll get you updated on the rest of the games. And then we will treat the Capitals going to the White House with the care that it deserves. Mm. That is next. Hoffman and Russell in for Dukes on Chad Dukes versus the World. Auburn up one at the free throw line with 6 seconds to go. The 5-seed, the SEC champions, holding on for dear life against New Mexico State. We're going to have a prayer situation here. 6 seconds left. Auburn missed 1 of 2 free throws, so they are up 2. Let's see if New Mexico State goes for 3. No, they have a clear path to the rim in the air, and Auburn hangs on
that
to
win. That was the dumbest decision.
Wait, did they call a foul on that?
How could they do that? They called the foul on the three-point shot?
Also, why did he pass up the wide open layup for the tie?
That's what I'm saying. That was the dumbest decision ever by man. I've never seen a dumb decision.
I've Chris,
in college basketball.
I've made dumber decisions.
Okay. I mean, I make a lot of dumb decisions, too, as everybody knows.
There is a foul on
that.
Oh, a
foul on the three-point shot on the hand after the release. How about that?
So,
and they're only down by two, so maybe it's not such a dumb decision. They got bailed out.
They got bailed out.
They got bailed out by a dummy.
Yeah, completely bailed out. See, I told you it was the dumbest decision. Yes. There was a dumber one 0.5 seconds later.
Exactly. How about that? He had he was in the paint on the low block and in perfect position for a game-tying layup, and he lofts passes it back out to the perimeter for a three-pointer that, oh, by the way, misses, but, again, he'll get the three free throws. Now, it is certainly not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination that a college basketball team or player in a big spot will hit key critical free throws to tie this game up.
Well, that's the thing. You got a kid who, depending on his age, is somewhere between 18 and 22 years old, that now, for an NCAA tournament game, is a 78% shooter and 7 of 8 on the day.
Terrell
which would
Brown, yeah.
Tell you that he, statistically speaking, is going to miss two of these. There's one of them.
Oh, my God.
Just what I was saying.
And 78-66, again, New Mexico State at the line, down two. They will need to make these two free throws to tie this game. If not, it looks like Auburn will hang on. Mexico State still in good line to cover this game. In fact, the worst thing that might be able to happen if you are on Mexico State here from a gambling standpoint is overtime.
All right, real quickly while we wait for this, by the way, Bradley up over the two-seed Michigan State, 29-26, 4 minutes to go in the half there, and Florida State, the Roosters, picked to win it all, the fourth seed.
And he missed the second free throw. However, New Mexico State, off the rebound, will get the ball back with 1.1 seconds to go.
So he missed two out of the three free throws. Shocker that nobody can hit a free throw in a big money spot.
Didn't I say statistically that's exactly what was going to happen?
Maybe you said that. I'm sure you did. You're a smart guy. I'm just saying nobody can. I mean, this is like the Wizards at the free throw line when they're down by two. Clank, clank.
Why you got to take cheap shots of the Wizards?
It's not a cheap shot. It's a fair shot.
If you say so. Maryland is down 8 to Belmont right now. Again, this ticket right
it's
here is
start.
Very happy.
It's a good start for Mark Turgeon.
Yep. And so we will keep you updated on these games. You will hear loud noises in the background,
yes,
depending on what happens at New Mexico State and Auburn. So we'll keep you there. I want to hit this Ram or this not this Rams thing. I just saw a Rams tweet. Speaking of an NFL thing, real quick.
Yep.
Robert Griffin III is re-signed with the Ravens on a 2-year deal, so can pass that breaking news.
Congratulations
along.
To him.
Yeah,
I am happy for him.
I am too. Robert was always great to deal with for me in the 1 year that I covered him, and he was apparently terrific for Lamar Jackson, so he will continue to be Lamar Jackson's backup in Baltimore again this year. So the Capitals are going to, and I want to pull up exactly what was reported here and what the Capitals announced. I know you just had Isabel's tweet, so I'm just going to go to this via your timeline. Capitals announced there will be no official ceremony or media availability while the team is in the White House. The team will take part in a private tour and will meet the president in the Oval Office. I actually think that's a very kind of cool way to go about this. And there is obviously a lot of political implications, which, depending on your opinion on the politics of our country right now, you could agree with this for political reasons, disagree with political reasons. That's not really, to me, what this is about, and nor is it what makes it interesting. What, to me, makes this super interesting for the NHL specifically is you're looking at a very international team, while at the same time, it is Washington, D.C.'s team. So the dynamics here and getting the public part of it right is in many ways as important as anything, because not only are you dealing with the Washington, D.C. dynamic, but these players are rock stars in the countries in which they come, and there could be political opinions in terms of foreign policy that have implications there. So I think giving the players the freedom to make their own decisions, and this has gone on long before this presidency, has always been the right play. I was really hoping the Oz would be more on this side so we could get better sound effects. Auburn hangs on to win as New Mexico State got a great look at a corner three and airballed.
Yeah, hit your free throws and then you're going to the second round.
Yikes, bro. But, hey, if you were on New Mexico State to cover the 5.5,
you win.
Congratulations, sir. Down in front, money for you. Claim your ticket at the window. As we talk about the Capitals, though, I do think it's imperative that each player not only gets their right to choose whether or not they want to attend. But the more I think about it, you know, at first it was like, hey, if you're not going to go, or if you are, I almost feel like you should explain yourself. But then the more I think about it, like, no, you don't. You know, what I would tell any player in this situation is, if you would like to go or not go and make a statement as to why, use your platform.
Well,
I encourage athletes.
Brett Connolly did that.
Sure. And I know Brett
did it eloquently.
Very well might, and explain why they are not going to potentially. Holtby hasn't officially decided yet.
Right.
But, you know, because I believe in this, and that is anti what the current administration believes, I'm not going to go. But if he also just wants to not go and be like, look, it's a private decision, I don't want to talk about it, I also don't think it's something that, as someone who covers a team, like if God forbid the Redskins had this decision to make, I don't think I would push guys on that.
Yeah.
Either.
So I can tell you, just because I do cover the Capitals on a regular basis, was obviously with them as they won that Stanley Cup, and pretty much with them every day when they're at home. Well, I'm there every game, and I was there all day yesterday, both at the practice facility and at the game. And Braden Holtby, oddly, was supposed to answer whether or not he was going and chose not to last night. It was kind of weird. I assume we'll find out on Friday. But, Craig, here's one thing that we need to point out. And of course, we probably need, you know, a little bit more time than we have right now to really dig deep into this. But I will say this. As a member of the media, okay, who covers the Washington Capitals, I got to be honest with you. I'm very disappointed by this decision, and I'm just going to be honest and blunt. And I don't know if anybody's going to appreciate this. I'm very disappointed that I don't get to cover this event at the White House. I'm not trying to make it in any way, shape, or form this is political. I understand if any individual players don't want to go. That is their choice. That is their prerogative. But I do believe this hurts overall the National Hockey League. I think it's not a good thing to go there and then not allow the media there and at least have it be a part of the sports conversation, which again helps the NHL, it helps the Capitals,
it
helps the individual players and their Q rating. To me, I don't think this is a good thing for ultimately the NHL, and it obviously hurts the media, so I'm going to step up and say it's not good for the media.
I don't know that I agree with you, but I don't know if I can explain it without getting into politics, so I respect your opinion. I think, obviously, it would be very cool for as a member of the media to go to the White House if you think that is something that is cool to do. But ultimately, I mean, I don't even have to get into the politics of it because I don't have to say whether I agree or not. It's just the simple fact is, like, the polarization that is currently the status of our country, I don't know that going or not, like, you're going to make certain people mad either way. And so to say that it not getting publicity hurts the NHL, I don't know about that, because I think that you're going to wind up, like, rubbing people the wrong way no matter what the decision is. Let the players go enjoy what is a cool experience they earned. If they think that that is a cool experience, if they would like to make a statement out of it, they can do that. I'm kind of at the point now with the intersection of sports and very specifically this part of politics that kind of let people do what they want. I don't think that there's a responsibility, but I think if you have a platform and you want to use it, like, go ahead.
Maybe we can get back to this a little bit later as time allows here during the show. We're on until 6:30, as Chad always says. We've got plenty of time to get back into things.
We are. The former Chiefs pass rusher Justin Houston has signed with the Colts.
Yep.
That, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter,
he was crossed
to a point on the Redskins' radar. He's a pass rusher, and they need pass rushers. And it is a 2-year, $24 million deal. At least that's what the big number is. We'll see what the details are. I highly doubt that winds up being the final number for Justin Houston. That all per Adam Schefter. With the rest of the day's news, Juan Romero in 5 minutes. And then we are back talking about Doug Williams' comments on scheme. Yeah, you've heard them. We're going to discuss next. Greg Hoffman, Chris Russell in for Chad Dukes on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.